Hey, listeners, I'm your host, Jay Harvey, and something a little different this week, a lot different. Last week, the other Mr. Harvey and I had to say goodbye to our dog, Marley. He was a Shih Tzu, and he was ancient, and it's hard. And yes, he had a corny name, but we didn't name him. He was a rescue. We had a family crisis about 5.5 years ago, and everyone pitched in. And my husband, who married into this crazy family, probably much to his distress, his way of pitching in was Marley. We called him Mar-Mar. I'm trying to think of all his names that we called him, all his nicknames. Actually, I knew we were going to end up with Marley, even when I first met him, for reasons I won't go into here. But I kind of knew from the get-go, before he lived with us, that we would have him. He was a quiet dog who had two goals in life. To eat as much as possible, and the second one was to be with my husband, the other Mr. Harvey, whose name is Scotty. Marley wasn't a cuddly sort, despite looking like a panda-colored mop with big, soulful, sad eyes. The only person he would acquiesce to cuddle with was Scotty, really. Marley chose Scotty. Scotty was sitting there probably wishing he hadn't taken my name during the family crisis, and Marley padded up to him and looked up at him with those big, soulful, sad eyes, and wanted to be held. So Scotty picked him up, and that was it. Game over, call it. Scotty and Marley were best pals from then on. To the point that our other dog, Cooper, at the time, who also was no longer with us, he was an adorable, yappy little teacup poodle. He probably wondered, what the fuck, Daddy brought this other jerk home, and he's doting on him. Scotty and Marley bonded so hard that Scotty felt a horrible guilt after Cooper suddenly died in May of 2019 because he focused so intensely on Marley. Marley needed the focus because he was sick. He had health problems, and he came from a bad situation where he'd been neglected. So he needed the attention. And I mean, don't worry, Cooper was loved hard by us. He was our first kid and everything, and my heart pains me to this day that we don't lost him too, kind of early actually and very suddenly. But Marley was an extenuating circumstance, and what he and Scotty had was special. He had a whole host of medical problems when we took him. He had a horrible skin condition that made him smell, and he had these awful growths throughout his life that would creep up on him, and some of the ones on his paws made walking painful at times for him before we had them removed surgically. He ended up with liver disease, which shortened his life expectancy considerably, but when he did die this past week, he was close to 110 years old in human years, so he was old. One of his eyes started to go on him at one point, and it was a whole drama, us saving his eye. And we're pretty sure he developed doggy dementia there at the end, and his hearing was pretty much gone. Either that or he was very brazen at ignoring us. We called him Good Boy, too. And, you know, despite all this, he just lived his life with us. He padded along down the hall of our old building, in our old apartments. He lived with us through, what, 4 apartments now? We're lifelong renters. When Scotty would bring him back from walks, he always have to be reminded, in our last place we lived was a building. And when Scotty would bring him home from walks, he'd have to be reminded of which door was ours because he'd forget, but he'd bound down the hall. And bounce almost. He was excited about walks and coming home. He loved his little rawhide sticks and getting scritches on his belly, under his tummy, and under his neck. And he loved Scotty. Jesus, did he love that man. Marley would be waiting outside the bathroom door for Scotty when he showered. He had to be beside him on the couch at all times. When Scotty would go out, Marley would wander the house looking for him. Marley and I loved each other. I loved him too, absolutely, definitely. I mean, I'm sick over this, but Scotty and Marley were soulmates. And you'll have to forgive me for this episode. I have a new chair and it's creaking. When Marley could, back when he could, Scotty and Marley would go on what seemed like hours-long walks in the morning and in the late afternoon. Whatever neighborhood we lived in, this new one or the old one, or the older ones, Scotty and Marley would get to know everyone they walked by. They'd get to know the neighborhood that way. Scotty is more social that way than I am. I don't want to know our neighbors because I might have to do something for them at that point, but Scotty would get to know them. And Marley didn't even like other dogs. He usually seemed to think that they were trying to muscle in on his human. he would bark suspiciously and protectively at his doggy neighbors. And let's not even talk about Marley and Cooper and their lack of a relationship. It's not that Marley didn't care about Cooper or didn't like Cooper. He didn't even see Cooper. I mean, Cooper was short, but not that short. Marley would literally walk over Cooper to get to his food bowl or the door or to his toys. Cooper would be left rolling in the dust in the wake of Marley. They shared a pillow for 4 years, but Marley wouldn't have been able to tell you that because he didn't even see him. He was invisible to him. Cooper was the first of our kids, but Marley showed him not a jot of deference. We would laugh at Marley's disinterest in his brother. We called him Old Man Marley, too. Marley's chief interest in life, besides his daddy, Scotty, was food. Marley wanted to eat 24/7, 365. As he got older, he got more ornery about it. So, we're two guys who were lifelong renters, right? And normally, we'd eat dinner on the couch in front of the TV, and almost every single night. And for almost every single night for the last 5.5 years, well, maybe last 4.5 years, Marley would pad up to the couch, plant himself right beside us, and issue a low growl in his throat. I wish I had a tape of it. It was very distinctive. Not a menacing one. It was like a whine sort of muffled engine running growl. It was a growl that said, "I see you eating food. I know you are eating food. I will have your food now, humans." Even when his eyesight started to go, his sense of smell didn't. Every night this happened. Actually, that growl became kind of Marley's calling card. He'd just stare at you with that underbite and the big soulful eyes that could look slightly crazed when he wanted something, and usually he had a growth somewhere out of the side of his head that was like a tiny brain bleeding, which was disgusting, but somehow he was still cute. And he would sit there and growl. "Are you eating?" "Growl." "Is daddy sitting on the couch without me?" "Growl." "Where's my rawhide stick?" "It's 6:30. It's time for my rawhide stick thingy, human." "Growl." "I want to play now. Here I am sitting in front of you with my big lambkin doll in my mouth and my hair hanging in my eyes, but I can still see you. I want to play now." "Growl." I will hear that growl for the rest of my life and in my dreams. It's not a good thing. I hated that growl. Ugh. My husband? "Oh, Marley, stop." In a loving, you rapscallion voice. "Oh, Marley, no." As if that was going to solve anything. I'd be like, "Marley, shut the fuck up. Marmar, shut up. No growling." And if I took action, like putting Marley in a timeout in another room, oh, the looks and cold shoulder I'd get from my husband. You would think I tried to put him in the garbage fucking disposal. I was other daddy. The disciplinarian. In the few times I mustered enough courage to do so, like I was the one to hold Marley accountable for his bullshit. Other daddy, you know, Marley was his little girl, basically. This past year Scotty started calling him sweetheart all the time, which was sweet. My husband isn't one for people. He doesn't like crowds. He's not a social guy. He doesn't love parties. He doesn't have much time for other humans, to be honest. We've both got terrible social anxiety, and I deal with mine by drinking and being a clownish attention whore, and he deals with his by avoiding socializing. He's very content with the couch and pizza and shows about history and antiques and focusing on the dog. He took such care of that dog. He nursed that dog through everything. That dog had a medicinal schedule that you wouldn't believe. And he received every pill, every treatment, every salve, every... Okay, as you can probably guess, we funneled so much money into Marley. Oh my... I have to laugh about it now. Marley got about 5 vacations out of us. What I mean by the cost of 5 vacations out of us. We didn't qualify for pet insurance. And the veterinary industry will rail you. Rail you. They will kill you. Your dog gets a splinter. It's a good $750, right? And Marley seemingly had everything wrong with him. And of course, I was the dad who would go, when do we draw the line with the finances and the pooch? Can we really afford that heart transplant? And dear, and Scotty, yes, we can. This dog's going to live forever. Marley was my husband's way of connecting with the world. He doesn't have much use for people, but he does for animals, and he did for that dog. That dog let him be neighborly, though, and let him connect with people outside of our little place, our little world here in the apartment. Marley brought Scotty into the world and kept him linked to it in a way. And admittedly, I will admit it, I am a grown-ass man, but I was jealous of a dog. Yep. I was jealous of a 110-year-old Shih Tzu. They had a bond, though, I couldn't breach. I didn't even try, but I would comment on it. If you treated me as nicely as you treat that damn dog, I can be such a horrible fishwife sometimes. Ask my husband. And Marley always got a prime seat on the couch. He determined our schedules. He'd be the damper any fun I could be having. Well, what about Marley? We had to go home to Marley. Marley, dog, ew, that dog. I would normally act like I resented Marley to Scotty. I would roll my eyes a lot and shoo Marley from the kitchen in a cross manner whenever I was cooking and he'd come around for a treat from the stove. I'd be like, Marley, get the hell out of the kitchen. You earned a foot. But what Scotty didn't know was, oh, maybe he did, was that often when Scotty was out, which isn't a lot because Scotty is a homebody verging on agoraphobic, I would sit with Marley on the floor and I would pet him and tell him how much I loved him and thank him for making Daddy so happy and for giving Daddy a purpose in a way. My husband and I both have mental health issues. Depression and anxiety kind of abound in this place. And I find my fix in different ways than my husband. And Marley, for a while now, became my husband's. And the last year was really tough. His decline was more evident every day. Marley was a slow-moving sort of dumpy dog, but there were times when he would get excited and would bound around and bounce around, and that stopped in the last year. I mean, in dog years, he was circling 110. He got gray. The bleeding from his growths became a daily thing, and we didn't want to put him through surgery because we were scared anesthesia would kill him. So we were always, I know this is gross, we were always mopping up blood around the house. There was always a dog blanket getting scrubbed of blood in our washing machine, it seemed. And, you know, he grew increasingly sore with the growths, and he had the liver disease, which made him gain weight in odd places and slowed him down, and he just ebbed. And I grew really worried about what it was going to do to my husband when he was gone. So, you know, I got used to him eating in the corner and his snoring on his pillow or at the foot of our bed, my husband snoring in concert with his at night. I miss that stuff. I actually even miss him farting whenever I'd pick him up, which was so disgusting and gross, and I'd be like, ugh. But of course, since my husband has the humor of a 10-year-old sometimes, he'd think it was funny every single time and crack up laughing. God, I even miss that. You know, I'm not sure people who have pets, who don't have pets, or people who don't feel that connection with pets or with animals can get this. But these dogs, Cooper and Marley, they were our kids, you know. We watched them grow, and we held them when they were sick and scolded them and laughed at them, and took comfort in them when times were dark. Marley would know when Scotty was down. You know, those were the times he wanted to be closest with him. Beside the couch, he wanted to, in the darkened living room on the couch in the glare of the endless TV, he'd want to be beside Scotty. I get so angry when I have the audacity to compare pets to kids and someone gives me that look, you know, that look like, what are you talking about? It's an animal, it's a pet, which is something I've said myself when I've tried to lessen Marley's importance to my husband in favor of my own. They are, they're kids. So my husband told me this week that he couldn't be the one to say it's time, so I had to. And so when I did say I thought it was time, when he got really bad, my husband protested and tried to think of excuses, come up for ways we could keep him. He'll get better. Maybe these meds will kick in. And, you know, I'm not the epitome of adulting. I'm really not. I myself am close to a half a century on this planet, but I'm known for my willingness to let go of the wheel and let my husband take it and steer us in some sort of direction. He's the fixer in the family. He's the adult. But there are times when he can't be, and I have to be. Ugh, I hate that. This was one of those times, and I've never been present in putting a dog down, and that's the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life besides say goodbye to my dad. You know, his eyes, he knew we were there still, and he was looking around at us, and okay, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to press stop for a second because, ooh, okay. Okay, I'm back. I come away from Marley's life and death being very proud of my husband, who often thinks that he has no place or purpose in this world. He took a sick dog. He took a sick dog in and where other people might not have, and he healed him and gave him a life of warmth and love. I mean, I did too, but Scotty made it special for that beautiful creature in a way a lot of people, including myself, probably couldn't have. In a way, they were kind of like each other's salvation. So if you're listening, please send some love in your head to my husband, because he could really use it right now. And anyway, this episode of Wicked Gay is dedicated to Marmar, to good boy, to old man Marley, to sweetheart. We love you, Marley. Thank you for being the good in our lives, and for loving us and letting us love you. We were and are, continue, will always be honored to have known and loved you. Yeah. So thanks for listening, and your regularly scheduled Wicked Gay Evil episode will be back next week. Thanks.